Now, Sports Talk with Broads. Here's Hunter Brody.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? Wow, that was an ass kicking. There's no denying it. Before we attack this nonsense, if you're new to the channel, make sure you smash that subscribe button. Hit that thumbs up button as well. On Twitter, at Broads81, that is my personal account. Hit the follow button. We have a lot of fun, even though the new update blows and the new update is miserable and I can't get accustomed to it yet. It's still a good time. We have some entertaining reactions, so make sure you hit the follow button there. And with that being said, enjoy the show. What is going on, everyone? Welcome on into Sports Talk with Broads. This is very fitting to see the Phillies get destroyed in Milwaukee 10-0 after the beatdown they put on the Brewers the night before. I'm so disappointed in Aaron Nola. I'm not surprised considering this Aaron Nola has been consistent this year, unfortunately. So I'm not stunned and shocked and my jaw is just hitting the ground. But it's still very upsetting to see him fall apart the way that he did. And I don't want to hear Joe Girardi postgame say that Aaron Nola battled and mention that he didn't have that bad of a night. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. 5 straight 2-strike hits. 3 on the curveball that had 0 bite. 1 on the sinker and 1 on the changeup. Now, we understand that Freddie Galvis should have made a simple play when the opposing hitter is the one that hit the baseball. But you know what? Something's happening with Freddie Galvis right now, whether it is correlated to the injury, which I think it is, or if it's every time somebody puts on a Philadelphia Phillies uniform, they forget how to play the game. They forget the fundamentals. They forget the basics, which is definitely possible also. It's absurd. And you get the sixth. The sixth made me vomit. Here's Rosso out there. He gets a 2-out strike. Oh, it's a wild pitch. Oh, the inning stays alive. Oh, hits a walk. Bases loaded. Walks in the opposing pitcher. What are we doing? And I know there's a lot of frustration towards Joe Girardi for maybe making the switch and putting him in there and not taking him out. Here's what I know, though. While, yeah, that wasn't processed perfectly, and maybe that wasn't the sharpest ever. Think about what we're talking about. Hey, Joe, can you fix the fact that Aaron Nola got annihilated and left pitches right over the middle of the plate and had 0 command and had no curveball at all, which is a pitch that he needs to put away batters? Hey, your opening day starter, Joe Girardi, has fallen completely on his face. Your fifth starter in Matt Moore, Chase Anderson, and Vince Velasquez have all been so miserable that now by default you have to utilize a bullpen game. Think about these scenarios. We're asking Joe Girardi to just perfectly execute and just land all the options easily as if they're sitting on the team. The answer is your team's not good. Do I like that Joe waved a flag basically this late into the season? No, I don't. I just don't know what answers you had. This is the cause and the effect. Well, the effect of the cause and the effect when you have to pitch a bullpen game because your starters are not good. So it's annoying. I gotcha. But I saw tweets all throughout the game, and I took a screenshot of 2 of them because I wanted to bring them up. Here's the first one here. This is from Dev. Why did you keep him in after you walked in a run? Pull him. Stop ducking around if you want to play in October. Maybe he meant a different word that started with an F. I don't know. He put ducking around, though, with 5 billion exclamation points. I don't like the fact that he stayed in there. And sure, I know John Kruk after the game mentioned maybe you pull him. It's a closer game. You're in this race. You're playing the Milwaukee Brewers that you just beat the night before. You know, give your team a better chance than you did, Joe. But ultimately, I still look around and I wonder, what are you begging for? You're begging for who to be in there? Well, maybe you just keep Aaron Nola and ask yourself to get out of it. Aaron, you're a professional. You're one of our veterans. Be better. Be a better version and work through these mechanical flaws and work through all these issues that have happened all year. But at some point, it's just not going to happen. We know it's not. It's been how many games? It's been how many outings? It's been how many September moments? So how can you demand Joe Girardi to keep trotting that mess out there when we already know the results that are about to come? And I know this is for more Rosso, I guess, and not going in with Rosso, but or not taking Rosso out. But I'm bringing up the Aaron Nola side of things because that was the alternative that was mentioned with John Kruk. Keep Nola in. Let him grind through it. Let him work through it. That's great in theory because it's hindsight and you already saw what the alternative delivered for you. But trotting Aaron Nola out there is a disaster option as well if you were to keep him in. So here's another one I got. This is from my boy Pete Thompson, my guy at the PT973. When the Phillies announcers are shocked that Girardi is leaving Rosso in, you start scratching your head. Rosso couldn't get his fastball over and thus a 3-zip deficit turns into a 6-zip territory. Rolling eyes emoji. I gotcha, but you're yelling here after you, like, think about what we're talking about. It's just that simple for me. The blame always goes to the manager. You know who I'm pissed off with? Aaron Nola! Marshawn setting up inside and low. It's high and outside. Kristen Yelich. Now, there's a full count involved. I know you don't have the opportunity to just start getting cute and fancy here, but you can't leave a pitch right over the heart of the plate. He's going to hit it well, right? I mean, you got to be better than this, Nola. All these problems you're mad with Joe about, it stems from the starting pitcher being so bad. And I don't want to hear it that he's not doing that, but yes, he is. And Joe, just being a player-friendly guy, I'm sure is just trying to make it seem, even though it's obvious as hell nobody feels that strongly about this, but he's making it seem, I believe in you, Nola, because he knows he's going to need Aaron Nola to have a big start and a big outing as we continue to dive deeper into this September run. So it's just a lie, basically. Because two strikes, can't get pitches where they need to be, locations off. He did throw the cutter a few times early, and I actually like that cutter pitch. I made a joke early on, name me a better duo than Aaron Nola and his cutter. And somebody responded with, you do know he only throws his cutter 1% of the time, right? Yes, thank you. That's why I was being sarcastic. I understand, though, it's Twitter. It's hard to read sarcasm, but obviously he doesn't throw his cutter a lot. That was a nasty pitch. The problem is, though, all of his other stuff wasn't working. It's great to add it to the repertoire and rely on it in nice moments if everything else is clicking as well. But when your curveball can't get over and has zero bite, that thing, what? It doesn't move the way it needs to move. I need to see dip, man. I need to see 12-6. I need to see you get over top of your pitches. And I thought Ruben Amaro brought it up perfectly throughout the broadcast with his mechanics and the way that, you know, the delivery on these pitches, it's just not sharp. The word he used was crisp. And I believe that's a great way to execute describing it. It's just not crisp. And with the slot of the arm and all of it. And that's been brought up months ago, too, about the way that he's just basically in his own head at this point, and he's so lost mentally that it's now affecting the physical side of it all, and he's got a lot of rebuilding and retooling to do. I'll say this. I questioned Rhys Hoskins, and each player is their own, but I questioned Rhys Hoskins rebuilding his entire swing, his entire mentality. You remember, he went through some dark, dark times, and he came out just fine, and now he's one of your most important bats in your lineup every single night. And when you struggle against lefties, the way this team struggles against lefties, you need power bats like Rhys Hoskins in your lineup to deliver some damage. And there's a reason why you're 20-25 right now against lefty starters. Yeah, you're not having some success. That needs to change. But Rhys did it very well, kind of changed everything. Aaron Nola is going to have to do the same. The skill level is in Aaron Nola. This is a write-off year, though. We need major change from him. This ERA makes me want to throw up. These pitches he's leaving over the plate makes me want to throw up. I don't understand how it gets to that level. That Escobar AB, you know, he threw a lot of pitches in that third inning. Doesn't help when you have bad defense, though. We've mentioned that so many times this season. And I know they didn't give Freddie Galvis the error. That's absolutely 1,000% an error. Freddie Galvis should be making those plays in his sleep. And it just, it affects the entire game. That simple play could have been the difference in Aaron Nola walking out of the mound the following inning and being Aaron Nola for the next three innings, and maybe he gets through six and it's respectable, and then you can go to your bullpen from there, which is so much different than trotting somebody out in the fourth inning. Give them as much stress as possible. You knew the bullpen game was going to be toxic. You had Zach Wheeler on the mound. Okay, go deep, Zach. Go deep. He gave you six. They were good six innings, but he only gave you six longevity-wise. It would have been nice to squeeze more out of him. He's been a superstar all season long, though. I'm not mad at him. I'm just saying it would have been nicer to get an extra, maybe one more in and get the seven instead of six. And there's one big snowball effect that occurs now. Aaron Nola, and now tomorrow with Kyle Gibson, you're going to have to rely on your defense to make plays for you, as he's going to be looking for the ground balls. But he's got to go deep. His last outing made me want to, I'll say it once again, throw up, which is a common theme with this team at times. His last start, September 3rd, for Kyle Gibson was, why are they giving me his at-bats? I don't give a damn about his at-bats, with all due respect here, right? I mean, really? I look up a pitcher and you're giving me his at-bats? We're better than this. His last start was September 3rd, 5 1/3, 8 earned runs, 2 walk batters, 1 home run allowed. He's been smooth for you pretty much ever since getting here, so, I'm not just going to just crucify the individual, but, yeah, it doesn't help when your offense is this quiet. Single galore, single, 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 just sprinkle in. He went through a stretch of a handful of innings with only one hit. No one could really generate anything. JT Realmuto up at the dish leading off. He goes 0-for. JT's been pissing me off. I know I'm harsh on him, but I think it's very warranted and very deserved. I was talking to Mike Gill, host of the Sports Bash on 97.3 ESPN tonight. We were texting throughout the game. He's like, dude, Marshawn every day, even though Marshawn probably should have stopped that ball that happened in the sixth inning, right? You got to have a better effort there. And maybe, once again, a simple mistake, a simple crucial little mistake is the difference that we see in scoring three runs in an inning and not scoring those runs. That would have ended the inning, 1-2-3 inning for Rosso, but instead, you know, it's two outs, a man's on. That's how crucial the little details are of the game. But even though Marshawn made a mistake there, and it wasn't, it was a mistake. You got to make that play if you're behind the dish. What JT has provided this year is not good. If this is JT Realmuto, you made a crucial decision that backfired big time. You gave out money where you can't be giving out money. You need help with starting pitching. Yes, you do. You have what? Zach Wheeler and Kyle Gibson? And I know Kyle Gibson's been nice this season, but I'm not going out on a limb here and telling you Kyle Gibson is some dude you should be able to rely on second in your starting rotation as you think about a playoff series. Please. So you really have three holes right now in your starting rotation after Gibson. Would have been nice to have that money elsewhere. I'm not telling you Marshawn over 162 or however many games he would play if he started every day is is what's going to lead you to success. I'm bringing it up because it just tells you more about how it's been bad this year for JT Realmuto. Not worth the money a lick. Get you an average catcher. Use that money elsewhere. Screwed up. What they did was they handcuffed themselves. They made a knee-jerk reaction, and maybe the pressure from Bryce Harper as well led that to happen. Hey, we got Bryce Harper now. We got to make some moves here. We got to add. We got to bring in Didi. We got to bring in JT. We got to keep him here. And at the time, Sixto Sanchez was dancing around the league as well. He had a crucial shoulder surgery and shoulder issue that limited him all season long, and his season's been shut down. But at the time of the contract negotiations, the talks, and Sixto Sanchez was coming off so many really nice efforts, it put a lot of pressure on the Phillies. But even at the time, you know, I didn't love it. I didn't love it. I understood it. I didn't love it. And I mention this a lot in sports. I'd be more understanding of you admitting you're wrong than signing somebody just because, putting a lot of money just because. And there's more in JT Realmuto than what we have here, right? If he starts playing first base, I'm going to be really pissed off because that's a joke. You did not spend that cash on him playing first base. Just like Aaron Nola, though, there's more in JT. He's playing hurt. Is this just a product of being really injured? And we don't know the significance of it, but because it's September baseball and he wants to play through it and he's trying to help his team the best way he possibly can and he thinks this is it, even though he's not good right now. JT in years past was, he was splashy behind the plate. You wouldn't run on him. He would gun guys out left and right. Just doesn't have that impact on either side of the plate. It's disappointing. And yeah, that's kind of basically where we're at there with that 10-0 shutout. We have some anytime hotline calls that we absolutely want to dive into. First, I have to tell you about my friends at DraftKings. The NFL is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving all new players a can't-miss offer for Week 1. Bet just $1 in any NFL game during the week of the season and receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. Take advantage of this limited-time offer now. You heard right. DraftKings is giving all new players $200 in free bets instantly when you place a bet of $1 or more in any Week 1 game. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now to check out all the great promotions and daily odds boosts. Plus, you can make every game a big game with same-game parlays. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code BROADS to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any Week 1 game. That's promo code BROADS to get your free $200 in free bets instantly for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, let's go on over to the phones. Head to the Anytime Hotline. Here's the reaction after tonight's disgusting outing.
Hey, bro, it was just another loss for this team. I mean, it was a good stretch. I mean, Nola wasn't really that bad. I just, this offense is so on and off. It's insane. The Braves won two, so we're 2.5 back. It'll be interesting to see Gibson versus Rob tomorrow. But, I mean, the Braves have such an easy schedule. Phillies have to start winning games. I don't care if it's against the Brewers or it's against the Rockies that who are, you know, away, who are coming up. They got to start winning games and just winning them on a hot streak. They got to go on another 8-game win streak type of thing. Because this Braves team is not going to be slowing down with their opponents.
I agree with you. I think that that's something that we've looked at for a bit of time and we're comparing the two schedules. Okay, after the Braves go through that gauntlet where they played the Rockies in Colorado, which I know they're not a great baseball team, but they do damage at their home park and they do win a lot of games there. Their road record is why they're so bad. And you look at the Dodgers and San Francisco. Well, they got through that gauntlet. There's still a tough series involved in there. But ultimately, you get the Washington Nationals. You get teams that should be easy for the Braves. And they're going to slip, too. There's a reason why they didn't run away with this division at the same time, right? They're not a perfect team, but they're very capable of doing more damage, it seems, against the weaker opponents than the Phillies have done, which is why they have the edge and why they have the advantage right now. They just seem to do it at more of a consistent pace. This game today, I know you started the call up by saying I didn't believe Aaron Nola was that bad. I'm sorry. When you go through the failures of the put-away pitch, that's so big in terms of the execution side of things. So, yeah, he's getting two strikes on hitters. That's awesome. But if you can't complete the job and throw that curveball or throw a sinker or a change with two strikes to get what you're looking for, it's irrelevant that you got there. It's a three-step process. You're completing two steps every time, and then you're restarting. To me, that's not throwing the ball good, right? And now he's missing spots and missing locations. Oh, well, he only left a few up. Well, come on, leaving a few up, you're down big now. Can't just say, oh, he's only leaving a few up. That's part of the problem. That's why you're not winning. That's why Aaron Nola's been this. Marchand's setting up inside. Pitchers are going outside, breaking ball outside. Where are we going? Can't throw that out as if that's not talkable, conversatable, debatable, conversational. He wasn't good. I don't see this false narrative that's being thrown around. Did he have the best defense behind him? Absolutely not. A lot of this goes on Aaron Nola, the individual, though. He needs to look himself in the mirror. Is this team capable of winning 8 straight games? I would say no. They've already done it this year. You can look at that 1 of 2 ways. They already did it, so it's out of their system. Or they already did it, they can do it again, especially with some of the opponents that they'll see in the very near future. This game makes a lot of sense, though, if you think about it. Because how do you go against Woodruff in game 1 and smack 12 runs on their asses and annihilate them to that degree? It only makes sense to see it happen the following night. Now you had both teams face adversity. Brewers handled it well and responded. Is it time for the Phillies to do the same with their veteran presence on the bump? I sure hope so, because tonight was a dud. I was thinking about 740 all day long, all night long. Phillies baseball, here we go. And it was, it wasn't almost unwatchable. It was unwatchable to the point where in my 3-TV setup basement, I took them off the 75. I put them on the 42, and I put on the U.S. Open instead. That's right. Now, I'm a tennis fan. I'm not going to tell you I'm a diehard. I know everything about everybody. But when it's on, I am thoroughly enjoying it. You got an 18, 19-year-old Canadian right now on the women's side of things just destroying everybody. I watched that full-on Naomi Osaka match the other day. That was epic. This kid is just tearing it up. I went U.S. Open over Phillies baseball volume-wise because it's 6-0. They were generating no offense. It was a snooze fest. Pisses me off when that happens.
All right, bros, this game was a complete wash. The Brewers just got a stack for what we did yesterday. But what we do tomorrow or what we do in the next game in the series is going to be extremely important because the Brewers, other than the Braves in the second to last series of the year, this Brewers team is the only, quote-unquote, good team that we're going to be facing for the rest of the season. So I feel like if we were to win this series tomorrow, it could be a serious momentum swing that could carry us for the rest of the season. Whereas if we lose tomorrow, this is the type of team that if something doesn't go their way, they just quit. So hopefully they win the series tomorrow and that momentum carries.
I understand the theory there. I'm just worried after so many, this could be the big swing. This could be the momentum grabber. This could be what makes you win 7 in a row. We just tried that so many times that who knows what happens in this series? I do think that there's validity to what you're saying where if you win this series tomorrow, I know it was ugly today, but winning 2 of 3 on the road against the Milwaukee Brewers is pretty fantastic, even if there was a 10-0 loss. You more chalk that up to the classic stinker, the one where you just didn't have it that night. It was an awkward performance. Just one of those games. That's what you'd say if you win 2 of 3. And I do think that there is some serious talks that is fair and justifiable based off of that, no doubt. That's why tomorrow's so big. In terms of this is going to be what makes or breaks it, I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm saying I'm playing the other side, right? So instead of the momentum swing positively, could this be the momentum swing negatively? Losing 2 of 3 against the Brewers on the road probably makes more sense anyway, where they would chalk it up to, all right, hey, we got to take care of business against the teams we should. It is what it is. Let's keep going here. We got 20-plus games to catch up with the Braves. We're 2.5 games back. We're still looking at the wild card. We're studying the St. Louis Cardinals. I almost called them the Arizona Cardinals. We're watching what's going on in Cincinnati with the Reds every single night. Let's just go. Let's move forward. Is that how they would approach it if it was the other side? Maybe. This is supposed to happen. If you're accepting that, though, that this is supposed to happen this late, you basically are telling us the inevitable. Because you know what? If you had a sense of urgency, if you had a kick in your ass, if there was a bit of fire lit underneath of you, you wouldn't be satisfied with that result. That wouldn't be okay with the clubhouse. It would be unacceptable. Teams with a sense of urgency would snag 2 or 3 when they shouldn't. When it is tough. When you have pressure. when you feel the heat and the intensity. What is this team made of? We'll find out in game three, that's for sure.
I mean, what a fucking terrible game. I mean, Aaron Nola, like, his curveball was moving a lot more side to side, but he just wasn't hitting spots. Normal Aaron Nola in September. And then we bring in Ramon Rosso, who walks the pitcher. I mean, why is this guy pitching in a division race? The offense can't hit today because they wasted all their runs yesterday. Like, what is this? What is this? You come out this flat in the second game? I mean, pick it up.
I'll tell you what it is. It's not having a very good team. That's what it is. Why is he pitching? Because you don't have a good team. Because you're forced to use your bullpen in a bullpen game because your fifth starter stinks and three different fifth starters failed. Because Zach Eflin's injured. Because Aaron Nola can't go deep consistently for your baseball team over a long period of time. That's going to cause your bullpen to be utilized more. That's why it's happening. You had to make a trade for Kyle Gibson. Before that, you were trotting out Spencer Howard, who couldn't get out of the second or third inning, which made your bullpen throw more. All these innings, these bullpen pitchers are throwing over the 130-plus games that they played is now starting to affect the team. You're starting to see it. And they're tired. So these are the type of players that get their number called when you're in this dysfunction. The team isn't good. The roster's not good. That's why it's happening. I know it's easy to go to the manager and demand that it be different. So instead of Rosso, or it's who? De Los Santos? Instead of De Los Santos, it's who? Guys were picking up off the streets. You can't just run these players into the ground. Hector Neris threw three straight days the other sequence, getting you big outs. Ian Kennedy had a two-inning effort to get you a victory. You're so desperate, you're throwing Ian Kennedy for two innings now. It's horrible. It really is. It's not what I love. It's actually the complete opposite. It's what I hate. But that's where we are. All right, let's take one more here.
Hey, Broach. So, it's already, we're at the bottom of the ninth inning. I'm just calling in now because that was absolutely pathetic effort. Now, I'll give Lauer some credit. He pitched really good. But come on. We can't score one run. We can't score one run on this guy. And on top of that, what the hell was Joe Girardi thinking about putting Realmuto as the number one hitter? What was he thinking? Brad Miller right now is the hot bat in that entire lineup. He's hitting well. Maybe you should put him up there for number one, or I don't know, just have Brad Miller in the lineup more often. There is no way on God's green earth Realmuto should be on there. The guy's in a funk. He can't hit the ball. He's striking out. He's missing the fastball. I mean, come on. Brad Miller has the hotter bat right now.
Well, I'll tell you why Brad Miller is not at the top of the lineup or in the lineup. It's because you have the lefty. And when you think about the lefty, you're not going to have Brad Miller in there. I'll give you the numbers on exactly why. Now, JT has been struggling. It just goes back to what are your other options? Odubel Herrera, you got another lefty up there. You're trying to emphasize the right-handed bats because, well, you're trying to score more runs. So here is your splits, and I'll go with career. I was going to put in this season, but I'll go career. Against lefties, he's hitting .218. Against righties, he's close to .250. He has almost 100 home runs against right-handed pitching, only 15 against lefties. And I'll go this year just to give you more of where he's at in the recent now. Against lefties, he's hitting .169 with four homers this season. Against righties, he's hitting .253 with 13 home runs. That's why your hot bat is not in the lineup. So you know it's going to be difficult with that aspect. If you go to the lineup tonight for your Fightin' Phils, JT leading off, Gene Segura batting two, Harper 3, Kutch 4. You like Gene Segura in that 2 spot. You don't want to move him around and make it, you know, where he's bouncing all around. Do I like him leading off more than JT? Yes. I like Gene Segura solidified in that 2, though, for a reason. Him and Bryce Harper have that good balance of the 2 and 3. Kutch has been a power for you, a power bat for you as of late, so him hitting 4th is kind of where you're at. I mean, basically what I'm telling you is, just like we've stressed a billion times with this bullpen, the team is just not good. You don't have a good enough product here. So they're good enough to be 500. When I say they're not good, I'm not saying they're Baltimore Orioles bad or anything of that nature, but you run into these obstacles, you run into these problems. This is something that becomes a constant theme with the team when they're a squad that has good talent like Bryce and like Gene Segura and like some of these names, but they can't put it together because, well, there's some injuries in play and you're not deep enough and guys aren't playing up to their capabilities, their standards. They're better than what they are. They're not proving it. They're having a down year. So you flirt around 500, but you have a tough time taking that advancement. This is what you get. And with that, we'll kind of shut things down here. Tomorrow will be fascinating to see what Phillies team shows up. September ball. Let's go, boys. It's not time to mess around anymore. Let's go. If I have to keep telling you that, though? Yeah. With that being said, thank you guys all so much for hanging out. This episode of Sports Talk with Broads, and I will see you next time.